Father God, we thank you so much today. God, that with all creation, we can sing your name and we can praise you. God, regardless of what may come at us, God, may no matter what we find ourselves in, no matter how good or how bad or just wherever we may be, God, that we can praise you because you are King of kings and the Lord of lords. And God, today, as we meet in this place, God, may we not come just for a feel-good moment. May we not come for just a little fix for today. May we not come so that we feel a little bit better about yesterday. But God, may we come today so we can feel better about tomorrow. That we can feel better right where we're at, knowing that we have a relationship with the one who loves us beyond anything we can imagine. And so God, today, as we move on into this service and as we move into the rest of our day, God, may we never get stuck in worrying about what was or what could have been or should have been, but God, may we just be focused on what is. And you, or what is, God, you are, I am. God, you are our Father in heaven. And so today, for those that know you today, may this be a celebration of who you are. For those, God, who've never come to know you, who've never met you as Lord and Savior, God, who've been maybe just drifting and wondering, may today be a day that sets them apart for all eternity. But God, may we come with a heart and an attitude that today is about you and about who you've created us to be. And may we do that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
When you feel you're stuck in a dead-end job and your boss looks like a guy from the mob, do your best and don't be a slob. Be a rock star, not a blob. Stay positive. When you're trying to get your master's degree with a spouse at home and a kid or three, it's tough for a while but not eternity. Smile, whistle, and believe. Stay positive.
So just out of curiosity, if you've been here for one of the messages in this series, how many of you have caught yourself whistling that tune? Just anybody? Yeah, I have too. And it's been kind of a cool thing. I've kind of had to pull it out of my pocket a couple of times to whistle it and just to remind myself to be positive. And so what a cool thing. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. It's good to have you all here with us and just being here at URA Community Church. Thank you for taking time out of your day to be here. You know, it's been kind of an interesting series. I was sharing with the volunteers this morning. You know, it seems like as we've prayed and as we've sought this positive influence in our lives, it seems like the more positive we've tried to be, the more negative that's come our way. And so I hope today that you've not experienced complete negativity. I hope you, though things have come hard at you, that you've still been able to find a way to be positive. And that's what we've been talking about, is how do we stay positive in this. And so today, I want to continue on. We talked about how to be optimistic as far as being a follower of Christ, how to be an encourager and be encouraged. We've talked about how to be generous and why we should be generous, how that helps us to be positive. And so today, I want to talk about how to be enthusiastic. Now, it's kind of weird because that whole moment with Revelation Song, that whole experience just a few moments ago, it brought me to tears. And I'm thinking, man, I'm supposed to preach on positivity. I'm sitting here crying. Well, let me just tell you, that's out of just complete positivity. That's out of the most positive thing that I can think of, and that's a relationship with God. And today we're going to really focus on that. We're going to dig down into how we stay positive, and most importantly, how we become enthusiastic. Because I think one of the things we've lost is in our lives and in our homes and in the church is enthusiasm. You know, to really be excited, to really be jacked up about something. And you know, we find the silliest things to get jacked up about sometimes. You know, some of y'all were jacked up about that Super Bowl thing. I don't know why. You know, gosh, it's going to be a terrible game. I'm kidding. Let me just say for the record, I am so excited for you Panther fans. I take back everything. No, not everything. Most of what I've said about them this year, okay? So I'm excited about that for you. Have a little hard time being enthusiastic, but I'm excited for you, as I know you are. And we're going to be watching the game next Sunday here during our Super Chili Bowl Fest. If you hadn't heard about that, next Sunday, 5:30, bring your favorite chili, your favorite dessert. Come on, hang out with us. We're going to put the game on the big screens, and you can bring your lounge chairs, whatever you want to. We'll clear out in here, and we'll have bean bags and sofas and all kinds of stuff in here to watch the game. It'll be a great time. We always have fun doing that every year. And this year, I'm sure, will be even better because we'll get to pull for our home team and just be ready to see them do something great. And so I'm excited about that. I hope you, if you don't have plans, come hang out with us. If you have plans, we'll cancel them and come hang out with us. That's how easy that is. But it's going to be fun. And we can be enthusiastic about all kinds of things. We get enthusiastic about our kids and work sometimes and all that. But we really have a hard time really maintaining that enthusiasm. So I want us to really dig down into that today. And so hopefully we'll do that enthusiastically. And you guys will participate and you know, kind of be involved. You know, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me some. Make sure that you do that and do it enthusiastically. And so let's have a good time. There are two types of people in this world. I really think you can, when you talk about enthusiasm, you can break it down to two types of people. There are those who allow their environment to affect their enthusiasm, right? So some people just, when things get tough, they just bottom out on enthusiasm. When things aren't going their way or whatever, they just bottom out. Then there are those who let their enthusiasm affect their environment. Now, today, I got to be honest with you, my environment has affected my enthusiasm quite a bit. And it's done it both directions, okay? My environment's been up and down this morning with just things kind of, you know, not being exactly like I thought they were going to be and not worked out like I wanted them to. And so I've noticed, you know, I had to catch myself because my enthusiasm was waning a couple times. And so sometimes we fall into that. And I think we can go back and forth, but as a general rule, we know those people, right? There's just some people that walk around enthusiastic all the time. And then there's some that walk around just miserable because they've let their environment affect them. Now, I think as you see that, we live in a kind of a negative, grumpy world, and so that's why we see a lot of grumpy, negative people. I think it goes both ways. It really affects it because of the environment. But now there's one little girl in my life that seems to not let those kind of things affect her. It's my daughter, Erin. She's six, and she is just, she's always so positive. And she's kind of cool. I love hanging around her because she'll find something positive and everything. But one of my most favorite times is when we sit down to have prayer time at night. And she, we always go around and all of us get together. We say, what are you thankful for today? And she never wants to go first. She always wants to go last. And so whenever we'll say our things, when we get to her, she says what she's thankful for this way. Everything except bad things. Now, is the most enthusiastic little expression of what you're thankful for that I've ever seen. If I could get a bunch of you to walk into church on Sunday morning and say, hey, how was your week? My week was great. Said I had bad things, but it was great. If we could get more of that, listen, I think we could make this a place that there wouldn't be empty chairs. There'd be people that wanted to be here all the time, right? But sometimes we just let our environment affect our enthusiasm, and it kind of wanes, doesn't it? In fact, we often come to church because our enthusiasm's waned and we want it to be jacked up. So I hope today you walk out of here jacked up because you've been able to have some positive stuff in your life. But Erin is always positive. She just finds good things to be excited about even when it just doesn't seem to be going her way. She has her moments, you know. She's six, okay? But for the most part, that just expresses, you know, when she says I'm thankful, it just pumps me up. Because she's positive and she has this enthusiasm that comes out about what she's thankful for. And here's why. Because I believe Erin's never made a decision to accept Christ in her life yet. And so you can pray for us as we keep leading her and sharing with her. But the thing of it is though, she knows where good things come from. They come from God. The scripture teaches us that all good things come from above. And she knows that all good things come from above. And she is excited about that. She recognizes that God is where good things come from. And if we're going to be enthusiastic about life, if we're going to be enthusiastic about what happens to us, then we're going to have to realize that enthusiasm comes from God. Here's why. Let me break it down for you. The word enthusiasm comes from a couple of Greek words that really point to enthusiasm coming from God. It comes from the words in theos. Say that with me. Say in theos. In theos. All right, so in, E-N means I-N. It means in, okay? Theos is the word, it means God. It means it's where we get our study of God. It's where we get our doctrine. It's where all about that. So in God, it is the root for the word enthusiasm. It's where it gets its root from. So the word itself means that it comes, it's an excitement that comes from God. It's in Him. It's filled with Him. And we need to understand that that is why enthusiasm is so important for us if we claim to be believers in Christ, that we should be enthusiastic people because we have God in us and our excitement ought to come out of Him being in us. So sometimes we wonder, hey, if we're really struggling with enthusiasm, maybe we don't have a lot of God in us. Maybe we aren't really spending much time to be able to recognize it and realize it. And so I want us to spend some time today really digging down in that, because enthusiasm is a spiritual result of an intimate time with God. It's really where it comes from. It's not a feeling. Well, we like to put it in the feeling category so that we can freely let go of it or have it or not have it if we want. That's the problem. It's not a feeling. It's a result of that relationship with God. Here's a couple of scriptures that kind of help us to understand enthusiasm in our study today. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. Listen to this. But thank God. Why? He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. That is one of the most powerful couple of scriptures that should drive us to be able to understand, experience enthusiasm in our life all the way around. Don't ever be a Christian so long that those two verses don't excite you. Don't ever let yourself fall into being at a place where you don't realize and don't get excited about the fact that God and Jesus has given you victory over sin and death. Man, that is conquered. The things we should fear the most are conquered through Jesus Christ. God's done that for us. And so everything that we do, we can be strong and immovable. Another way to put that is stand firm. You know, that we've seen the Panthers do it all year. They've stood firm. They've had some adversity. Things haven't gone their way. Hey, if you want to see a place, they've been immovable. And you should be quite proud of that. And they should too, because they've stood strong right where they are. And for us, we've got to be able to stand strong right where we are. Good things, bad things, we've got to stand strong because we understand that He's already given us victory. It's already won. And we should be enthusiastic about that. Be strong and immovable. So when we work for God, we need to understand that nothing we do for Him is ever useless. There are days where there's some mundane things about being a pastor just that are repetitive and everything else. And sometimes I'll just be honest with you. I get bored with them because, you know, we want to be on the front lines. We want to be sharing Jesus. But there's just some things that you have to do that allow the church to be what it wants to be who I'm supposed to be, to help you be who you're supposed to be. And they just kind of seem repetitive, and it's easy to get in a rut with them. But the reality is that nothing we do is useless. Therefore, we need to be enthusiastic. We need to be excited about it. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do. Now, In the Greek, what do you think whatever means? Whatever. Anything. Anything that you do, whatever you do. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. The Bible tells us that the most important thing we can do is to love God with everything that we have, our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, everything about us. And so when we are doing whatever we do, we need to understand that we need to do it as working for Him, because when we put Him first and we point everything towards Him and into Him, man, it's important, and we can be enthusiastic about it. Whether you're mowing yards, waiting tables, staying at home with the kids, a CEO, leading a discussion group, at your Bible study or your life group, whatever you do, do it the best that you can with everything that you have. That's giving it enthusiasm. That's allowing enthusiasm to dictate your environment rather than letting your environment dictate your enthusiasm. It's to be excited, to show people that it's not just about not part of your environment, but it's a product and a posture of your heart, that your environment is affected and infected by your enthusiasm. We need to be able to do that. I'm doing what I'm doing for the Lord. We need to tell ourselves, if I'm going to do this, let me do it with the best I can so that God will be shown in it and that He'll get the glory. Now, it's kind of interesting. I had an opportunity. You know, I try not to talk politics, and so I'm not really talking that here. But I had a chance yesterday to talk with one of the school board members. And it was kind of interesting. It was a very enlightening conversation that I had with him. And you know what I told him? I said, I'm not going to tell you what you should do, but I'm going to tell you whatever you do, wherever you end up in all of this stuff, wherever you end up, do it because God has told you to do it and because He's in charge of your life. And if you're going to do it right. Don't do it half-hearted. Don't make a decision because, you know, you felt like it was just the thing to do. But do it because you're doing it with all you got, and do it because God told you to do it. Now, that's a tough place to be, because we want to wane on that or whatever, but you know, that's how we have to do things. We got to be willing to do it with God leading us to all that He wants us to be. And if we do that, we'll demonstrate this enthusiasm, and we'll demonstrate something to the world that can be contagious and can be caught. Paul was one of the great, he written so much of the New Testament and such a figure for us to look at, the Apostle Paul. And when we look at him, almost all of his ministry was done in negative situations. I mean, the things that he wrote while he was in prison, man, he did that with incredible enthusiasm because he was doing it for the Lord. We learn from that, and we need to be able to live that out. The Bible is full of people who did things with all their heart, with everything they had, regardless of their situation, and they did it because of in theos, in God, because He was in them and they were in Him. They were spending time with Him. One of the great examples, other than Paul, is David. And if you know, most of us, if we've grown up in church and here in the South or whatever, we know the story of David. We mostly know the story of David and Goliath, right? We've heard that story. We know David became a king, and we know Bathsheba a lot. You know, we've heard that part of the story, so we know a lot about him. But think about who David was in the beginning, and who he became in the middle, and then who he became towards the end of his life. David came with a great enthusiasm, and we see that rise and fall throughout his life. David was a great example of enthusiasm for us, both how to have it and how to get it back if we lose it. So today I want to spend some time digging into the life of David, really helping us understand. Maybe some of us are here today and we've lost our enthusiasm. Maybe some of us are here and we've just never felt enthusiastic about the Lord. Then today I want us to be able to see it and grow from it. Here's where we start the story of David. We'll start with Goliath, because we know that in that story, if you're not familiar with the background of it, Goliath was part of the Philistine army, and they were up against the Israelites, and and there was this battle about to take place, and the Israelites were afraid because the Philistines were, they had this dude named Goliath, and he was like 9 feet tall and just a, you know, this monster of a man. And he walks out and challenges the whole army. You know, I'll kill you. I'll defeat you myself. You know, and he wants him to send somebody out to take him on. And nobody would go. They were in fear to go out and face Goliath. But here's this David, this little shepherd boy, who says, you know what? I got something for him. And he goes out and he takes on Goliath. Here's what happens as he goes out and meets him. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of our Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine. I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Now, I've been called cocky sometimes. I've been pretty bold. You know, I get in some of these Dallas Cowboy arguments with you guys, and you know, I can be kind of cocky about that. And I can be pretty cocky about some other things. But let me tell you, David, that dude was the cockiest. He walks out and says, "Listen, I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to give the rest of your sorry butts to the birds and the animals. I'm out here to take action and do it." He's ready to take them on. Why? Because there is a God in Israel, and there's not just a God in Israel. Not this. This God is in David too. David recognizes him, and he's about to do this thing. He knows he can do it. That's pretty enthusiastic to walk out there and want to take on a giant with a little sling, you know, with a little sling and a rock, right? But he does it. And he had this enthusiasm about him that was just amazing. It's what sets this story apart for us. But where did that enthusiasm come from? Where did David's enthusiasm for the Lord come from? Here's where it came from. Let me give you a few points here. He trusted God daily. He was enthusiastic because he trusted God every day. A little boy out taking care of the sheep, man, he had some incredible experiences. He had lions and bears come against him. You know what? And he went right out there and ran after him and went right to him with a sling and a stone, and he defeated lions and bears, and he took care of it because he knew that God was caring for him, that he was on his side. He was trusting him in those situations. Some of us have lions and bears chasing us, right? Not literally, but certainly figuratively. There are some big things in our lives that we are afraid of and we are fearing. Let me tell you that you can trust God daily in those situations. You can put your trust in him. You can believe that he understands, that he knows, and he cares. He knows what's going on. You can trust him. Most of our trust comes from what we've seen him do before. Man, listen, we know the story of David and Goliath not because it's cool to read about, but the Bible and the accounts that it takes in and gives to us are there for us to be able to trust God when we come against giants. It's there for you and me to be able to learn from. We can trust him because we've seen what he can do. The second thing that David did and his enthusiasm comes from is that he walked with God daily. Think about the 23rd Psalm. David pens the 23rd Psalm. Those aren't words that come from a guy who doesn't walk with God. That's not coming from somebody who doesn't acknowledge him. Listen to what it says. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, that is a guy who knows God. That's a guy who's walked with him and spent time with him. He's trusted him and he's walked with him. That's out of a spiritual intimacy that those words flow. And for you and me, we can understand enthusiasm, and David's enthusiasm especially here, that we can have for ourselves, because we can understand that he trusted him and he walked with him, and we can do the same. The third place of this that his enthusiasm comes from is that he worshiped God daily. When the Ark of the Covenant came into town, the presence of God, man, the Bible says that David danced and he celebrated. I don't know exactly what it looked like, but I got to believe it kind of looked something like this. I'm just saying, you know, the whole, it's got to look like that. And when was the last time that you got that excited about what God was doing in your life, who he is to you, that you just couldn't help but to throw up some hands and just get crazy? We got to get excited, y'all. We got to be able to worship him. But when you're standing here and these songs are playing and man, you know, you feel the presence, just lift your hands. You don't got to lift them like that. Just lift him and acknowledge him. Worship him for who he is. Because, man, he's done so much for us. He's brought us through so many things. Now, some of you have testimonies that would blow us away. And and you know what? If you got it and you hadn't shared it, then you need to do it. We need to be able to share our testimonies with each other and worship him and be excited about him. Because somebody needs to know that they can get through what you've been through. They need to understand where they're at right now is where you've been and can help them. And we need to be able to worship him because he's brought us through those things. David was enthusiastic because he trusted him and he walked with him and he worshiped him. He got crazy in front of him, not for people to look at him, but for them to look at God, to acknowledge God for who he was. And that's the kind of enthusiasm that needs to come from us. He trusted him, he walked with him, he worshiped him. For some of us, it's like, you know, we need to just be able to let go. Have you trusted him with the situation that you find yourself in? Have you just said, God, I trust you? Have you found yourself with a song being played up here that just spoke to your heart? I mean, some of you don't, most of you don't know. I don't know that I've ever shared this with anybody. But one of the things I do, and that song, Revelation song that we had earlier is so important to me. There are so many times that I've just come in the worship center all by myself, and I've just put that song on, and I've just worshiped him all by myself. And I'm sure if somebody was watching, it was probably pretty silly to look at, but you know what? It was honest, because he has been good to me. He's done some things for me that I can't give credit anywhere else. And it's out of just acknowledging him and how much he loves me that I'm able to do that. And so listen, if you don't want to do it in front of anybody else, just go, you know, go find a room and do it by yourself. But don't be afraid to worship him. He's not afraid to be in your life. Don't be afraid to let him be there and to acknowledge him in yours. See, the thing though about David, it's what happens, I think, to a lot of us. We begin with this enthusiasm. We get excited. We accept Christ, and we're all on fire, and you know, or something new's in the church, and you know, we get all pumped up about it. But then something happens along the way, and our enthusiasm begins to wane. You know, there's a thing about new churches. As you are a community church, we've kind of hit the 18-month mark as a brand new church, and we, you know. 18 months ago, we kind of changed up some things. We became, all on our own, and it was exciting, and everybody was all in, and man, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and I'm going to be part of this, and I'll be part of that, and we got all excited about it, and then we hit this 18-month period, where things have, they're kind of the same old things we've been doing, and we're not changing, and I don't really like this, and I don't really like that. See, our enthusiasm begins to wane because we begin to lose the focus and the purpose of what we're supposed to be as a church. It's easy to do. The shine begins to wear off. And we begin to lose our path and our purpose. And see, David had the same thing happen in his life. He was all excited. He was all pumped up when Goliath was there, man. And then all of a sudden, we found himself not so excited. Here's what happens as we read the story and we continue on. In verse 17, and chapter 17, verse 48, says, Goliath moved closer to attack. David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling, and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down. Now, I don't know about for you, but that's kind of a cool part of the story for me. It kind of sounds kind of gross, and you probably think weird of me, but I think about that stone sinking into the forehead of Goliath. I'm like, think about your problem. I don't know what your problem is today. All of us probably have something that we can think of that probably isn't like we want it to be. But can you just imagine that problem? And you put, it's got a face to it. And imagine being able to rear back with a rock and sling it and watch that stone sink into your problem and watch it fall face down dead. Am I the only one? Maybe I'm just the twisted guy in the room that can imagine that. But you know what? It's kind of cool to think about my problem getting squared in the forehead with a rock and falling face down. And if we can see that, then I believe our enthusiasm gets even crazier. Because listen to what David, he knew that the rock, he had that confidence in God because he trusted him, he walked with him, and he worshiped him. And he runs out to Goliath, this guy, and he sinks that stone right into his head. What about you and me? What if we ran out to our problem knowing that the rock could sink into the forehead of it and drop it on its face? Not because of who we are, but because of who's helping us throw the rock. You see what I'm saying? He was enthusiastic about it. And there was this whole thing that happens in it because of who he is. See, David had this time in his life where he ran out and sunk the stone into the forehead of the problem. Fast forward. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. We fast forward. David now is not the little shepherd boy, but he's the king of Israel. And things have changed for David. Things have gotten pretty comfortable for him. And so in the springtime here, where he's supposed to be somewhere, because listen, the kings are supposed to be out with their armies. But David's not. He's back out there. He sends somebody else to do his thing. Listen to what happens in verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. This is where David's life tragically changes. This is where the enthusiasm has waned. Because where he once ran out to the problem, now he's hanging out, letting somebody else do battle for him. And he's up on the rooftop doing what he's not supposed to be doing. And he notices, let me tell you about the rest of the story. He looks across the rooftops and notices Bathsheba taking a bath. Kind of funny, isn't it? Or maybe not. I just think it's funny that her name's Bathsheba and she was called taking a bath. That's where we meet her. But anyway, so gosh, I'm the weird guy in the group today for some reason. So anyway, it's not unusual. But anyway, so here's David who has this enthusiasm. Now he's finding himself, the king, up on the rooftop watching a naked woman taking a bath. And now, instead of being out at war doing what he's supposed to be doing, now he's on the rooftop doing something he shouldn't do. And he sends for her and has her sent to him. And the whole adultery thing takes place, right? I don't know, maybe he did like that churchy thing. Well, maybe I need to minister to her. Don't do that. All right, don't. Just because she's pretty, don't just think you have to minister to her. It usually doesn't work out that way, and it gets you in trouble. That's free. That don't cost you anything. Just don't do it. So here's the thing. David finds himself there now. Instead of being enthusiastic, running after a problem, he's at home sitting on his can, you know, up on the roof, and he gets himself in trouble. So now, instead of having enthusiasm, running out into the battle to serve his God, now with apathy, David walked on the rooftop to serve his own comfort. See, now instead of being enthusiastic for God, now he's comfortable and at home, thinking, you know what? I'll just sit back and let everything else happen. You see, that's what happens to our lives when we have enthusiasm for what God's doing. Man, we find ourselves on the front line, able to take on things. When we find ourselves comfortable, wanting everything to happen for us and be done for us, we find ourselves apathetic and find ourselves doing nothing and oftentimes getting ourselves in trouble. How does a man go from so much enthusiasm as a kid to lose it as a king? How did he lose his enthusiasm? I think he took his eye off his calling. If you really want to be honest, he took his eye off of his calling, of who he was supposed to be. Listen, for you and for me, if we lose sight of who we are to be in God, who we're to be in Christ as a follower of him, let me just tell you, we will find ourselves apathetic. We'll find ourselves finding every reason not to read our Bible, every reason not to pray, every reason not to trust him, every reason not to walk with him, every reason not to worship him. It will become easier and easier as we take our eyes more and more off of who we are really supposed to be in Christ. I'm telling you, it'll be easier not to come to church. It'll be easier not to read your Bible. It'll be easier not to pray. It'll be easier not to tell people about Jesus. I'm telling you, it will get easier and easier. We have to stay enthusiastic. We have to stay in theos. We have to stay God in us. And we've got to be excited about it and stay focused. Not to get comfortable in where we are. Listen, I think that may be where we are as a church. There's a sense that could be happening to us. We got to be very careful of that. We can't forget that 18 months ago, God called us to be Uwari Community Church to make a difference in this community. And so what happens with that, there's a responsibility that we as individuals need to make sure that we are trusting him and walking with him and worshiping him ourselves. But then we also have to do it as a church. We got to be willing to trust him as a church. Let me tell you, financially, our church is not where it needs to be. That doesn't mean I'm going to ask you for more money. I'm not going to. I'm going to ask you to trust him more. And if he tells you to give more, then give more. If he tells you to not give more, then don't give more. But we got to be able to trust him in that. Do we need more people? Yeah. Am I going to tell you to go invite more people? Well, yeah, but I'm not going to question you about it. I'm going to trust you to go out and just invite people to come with you so that they can hear the gospel of Christ and be changed just like you and I have been. We got to be willing to trust him and enthusiastic about it. We got to be excited about who we are. Man, Facebook, just go tell somebody you were here today. You know, you don't even have to tell them the preaching was good, even though it is. You don't have to tell them that, all right? Just tell them that this is where you were and that God did this for you. Not about me, not about the band, that he just did something for you. And be enthusiastic about it. And let God draw people to him. We can't make them come. But man, we can sure put them in a position that they can hear about him and be invited and be drawn to him. We got to be enthusiastic about who we are. We got to be excited about our worship. We got to be excited about trusting and praying and having that relationship for him. David found himself comfortable. Listen, I know we got pretty comfortable chairs here. They're a lot better than some wooden pews that you may have sat on in the past, right? Your butt's not even numb yet, even though you've been there an hour. It's just, they're comfortable. But don't let that comfortable chair become the most important part and your favorite part about being here. Let it be about who God is and what he's done for you. Let him speak to you. Here's what happens to us so often, that we get stuck into this rut. Don't do it. Make sure that you continue to walk with him daily, that you trust him daily, that you worship him daily, so that the enthusiasm doesn't wane, that it grows all the more. Be excited about who God is. Tragically, there's often a picture that we get of what the church is and what it's become. And so let me, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, listen to this. Yet I hold this against you. This is the indictment that Christ brings against you. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. When we lose our enthusiasm, listen, we got to understand that he sees it and he knows it. And we need to be able to get it back. He gives us the opportunity to do that. Repent. First, you got to repent. That means the fancy word of you're going this direction, you got to change your mind. And so we got to get the enthusiasm back, understand who he is and get our enthusiasm back and do the things you did at first. Listen, when we first became URA, people were inviting like crazy and people were doing serving like crazy and all of that. Listen, we got to get back to that. Because that's how we continue to reach people for Jesus. It's not because we just get to do church. It's because the church becomes what it's really meant to be, a place where people can come and hear the gospel and be changed and grow in their relationship with him. If you're not growing, listen. If you don't feel yourself growing in your relationship with Christ, I'm telling you, the opportunities are available for you to do it. And it comes down to you taking the steps. If I could give it to you, I would. I would do whatever I could to just give it to you. But the reality is, I can't. I got to give you the opportunities, and you got to take advantage of it. And we have those here at URE to grow and to become. We need to get back to the things we did at first, inviting and getting involved in the ministries here. Man, we've got so much exciting things happening. There's about to be an explosion in our kids' program. You guys, me and Gabe, have been working on that all the last couple weeks, and I am so excited about what's about to happen in our URE kids. It's going to be amazing, and you're going to want to be part of it. You're going to want your kids here. You're going to want your neighbor's kids here, and you're going to want to be back there and just watch it happen. Because we need to be able to tell that generation about who Jesus is so that they may walk with him, so they may trust him, and so they may worship him. Sometimes that group back there is leading the way. They're way ahead of this group in here, and we need to be able to continue that for them. But here's what it comes down to. Having the attitude of David. Though David lost his enthusiasm, he got it back. Listen to Psalm 51 as he cries out for that. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Listen, if you are here and you've made a decision to accept Christ, think about the moment and you realize that you needed salvation and you gave it over to him and you just said, God, I realize that Jesus died for me, that he paid the price on a cross for me, that he came off the cross, was buried, and on the third day you raised him again so that I can be forgiven of my sins and that I can spend forever in your presence and be made right with you. Do you remember that feeling, those that have made that decision? Do you remember what it was like to just know that you were set free forever? We need to get excited about that. We need to get that back into us and have it restored so that we want to express that to every person we come in contact with. The enthusiasm doesn't come because we go to church for an hour a week. I know maybe you get tired of hearing me say that, but listen, I'm serious. If my enthusiasm comes out of me just standing up here for an hour and preaching to you, by tomorrow it would be gone. But it comes out of the fact that I trust him. I walk with him and I worship him, and you can too. There are two types of people in this world. Those who let their environment affect their enthusiasm, and those whose enthusiasm affects their environment. Do we want to be a church that's affected by our environment? I don't think that's who the church is called to be. So let's be a church where our enthusiasm affects our environment. Let us be a church where people come because they see how excited we are, because we're excited because of who God is. because of what he wants to do in our lives. Listen, we can have pep rallies all day for Jesus. And I can stand up here and I can get all pumped up and, you know, whatever. I buy you all pom-poms. But the reality is, if you aren't willing to trust him, and you aren't willing to walk with him, and you aren't willing to worship him yourself, then we'll never have the enthusiasm we're meant to have. We'll never have the impact on this community we're meant to have. We'll never see people come to Jesus like we're called to be part of. We'll never see people grow in their relationship with him. We'll never see people get healed of diseases. I believe he still does that. You can call me crazy, but I believe he does it. And I believe we'll see more of it if we would believe more of it. I believe that he fixes marriages. I don't know about you. I've seen a lot of them fall apart lately. But I believe that he fixes them. We got to be enthusiastic about it, though. We got to be trusting. We got to be worshiping. And we got to be walking. So if we want to be that, if you want to be part of that, I can tell you right now I do. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of a church that does that. I don't just want it to be this church. I want it to be the church, every church that is in this community. Can you imagine what happens when the church gets excited about the church? And here's why you get excited about the church. Not because you got a sign out front. Not because you got a cool preacher. Not because you got a great band. Not because you got a great kids program. You get excited about a church because the Bible is taught and Jesus is in charge. And may that always be this church. Always. God, today we pray that we get excited about you. God, may we get excited about you because of what you've done in our lives, because of who you are, God. Because you loved us, and you sent your son for us. And he came and gave himself sacrificially in a terrible, horrible death for us. God, so may we be excited today as those in this room who have made a decision to accept him. God, may we get that. May we be restored to where that salvation came. May we have that not just a feeling, God, but just a knowledge of who we are in your eyes. God, may we become excited because we begin to walk with you in a greater way, that we trust you in a greater way, and we worship you in a greater way. God, for those in the room who have never made that decision, to never realize that they've been separated from you, God, that they don't have a relationship with you because sin is in their lives. And God, that's where we all are. Sin is there. The Bible says we've all fallen short. But God, the reality is that some in this room have acknowledged that Jesus came, and he came to make that gap right from where we've fallen short to where you want us to be. For those in the room who've never made that decision, God, may this be the day that they realize that everything's been done for them to be restored, except for them to accept it. God, may this be the moment that they do that. God, for those that know you, may this be a moment of just re-acknowledging that and recommitting to that. God, for those who've never done it, may this be a moment of accepting it. And God, for all of us in this room, God, may we become enthusiastic about who you are, so that, God, we can reach this community more for you. God, I pray in these next few moments as the band plays that those who need to make things right with you will do it. Whether it's to recommit or just to commit for the very first time, God, I pray that in these moments that there is lives changed because of you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.